right, I'll be with you in a second. I'm eating some chocolate. Cuckin' Fura. I was a little late on the take up there.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, still piss, man, look for motherfucking safe spaces, ain't it? You can't shove your pins together without the trumpet of skies to keep it company.
Either you are wrong, or I am right.
I should be thinking about this, I just talking about the either you are wrong, and I am right. Something like that. Woo. Thank you. Making the crowd goes wild. I love it. Some people would not allow their constant rightness to go to their head and inflate their ego. I'm not one of those people. Some people may come to me and they say, "Great one, you have an awfully high opinion of yourself." Yeah, yes I do. You have a problem with that? All right, let's get going. Let's pick up from where we left off on the previous episode. Quote, "The programs that millions of Americans pay into, and also, you know, millions of immigrants pay into, that's why we keep bringing the immigrants here, because somebody's got to finance this Ponzi scheme. The programs that millions of Americans pay into and expect to have in their future are going broke, driving up federal spending, growing our deficits, and crowding out other priorities in the process. We cannot afford to ignore this reality any longer," unquote, said Representative Steve Womack of Arkansas, the ranking Republican on the Budget Committee. Yet, oddly enough, we are in fact going to continue to ignore this problem. But we can't ignore this problem anymore. What are you going to do about it? Ignore it. If you're not doing something about the problem, you're ignoring it. But potential cuts, such as curbing inflationary increases for Social Security, hiking payroll taxes, or raising the Medicare retirement age, are so politically toxic that Washington's power players are mostly ignoring the problem. And that's true. Nobody wants to do any of those things, and that's why they're so gung-ho to bring in the immigrants. Because again, the people that live here are not reproducing at a high enough rate to pump enough and not only that, there's not any fuck job. God damn it, guys. Like, what more? Look. I'm trying to think how I explain this. Which, the people who listen to this podcast don't need this explained to them. So I don't know why I'm explaining this. Right, but it is a pyramid scheme. It's pyramid for a reason. You need more people paying in, right? Than people receiving benefits. And so envision your pyramid. One person at the top, 10 people at the bottom. Okay, when the 10 people at the top make it to the peak of the pyramid, it's not one person at the peak anymore, it's 10. But each person up there needs 10 people to support them. And it keeps going. So we've got to keep bringing in more people. Right, this is part of why there is this big push to get women into the workplace, to get women having jobs so that you could tax the women's jobs so you can make more money for the Ponzi scheme. So we had to create all of these jobs, like guidance counselor and social workers and teachers' aides, right? All these made-up jobs, human resources, all these made-up jobs. I mean, here's something I'd be interested in knowing. What percentage of the jobs are made-up jobs that we don't need? We as a nation state, we as a society. Once again, you give everybody their $300,000 when they're born. You don't need anybody working for the IRS. You don't need anybody working for Social Security. You don't need welfare people. You don't need probation. You don't need these jobs. They're made up jobs for no reason other than to get people on a payroll somehow, somewhere, so that their pay can be taxed so you can support the Ponzi scheme. I mean, at what point will the number of jobs in our society, even if they're being taxed, at what point will that not, and actually we're already there. I haven't done the math on this. I'm throwing forth a thesis that is based on my observations. I think we're already there. We are already there. I mean, if the number of jobs in the United States right now was generating enough revenue to support Medicare and Social Security, we wouldn't be talking about how they're going to be insolvent. I mean, we've hit that point. So you have to make up more made-up jobs to get people in the workforce so they're getting paid. But where does the money to pay them come from? How many jobs can you make up? And we're going to find out. We are going to find out. Very likely in my lifetime. Thank God, because I want to see it. I want to see this shit collapse. I want to see the old people like rioting at the Social Security office. I mean, it's like, you better give me my wife. I paid into Social Security and I deserve my money. Just like I want to see girls right now today who are 20 years old, I want to see them hit the wall, hit hard. I mean, they're going to hit the wall at 24 because that's when women start hitting the wall. But I want to see them at 40 when they know that they've hit the wall. I want to see them crying themselves to sleep. Well, not literally crying themselves to sleep at night. Not literally see them. I know they're going to do that. I do not want to see a 40-year-old woman crying herself to sleep at night. I just want to know what's happening. I do not want to actually have that sight in front of me. Just like I want to see Zoomer girls right now, 20-year-old Zoomer girls, I want to see them alone and crying and going, where are all the good men when they're 40 years old? I want to see that so bad. I also want to see the old people lose their Social Security. And I might be one of them. And you know what? That's what the Smith & Wesson retirement plan is for. I am willing to give up my Social Security benefits. That's hilarious. As if I have a choice. It's like saying, well, you know, I'm willing to die in order to make room for more people. No, you're going to die no matter what. Okay, I'm not going to get Social Security. I might get some, but it's not going to last until the day I die. See, that's the thing, too. Social Security might be there when I get old enough to start collecting it. But being as I intend to live for a long time, so I can scream at the internet and tell kids to get off my lawn and continue to be accused of being racist and sexist and fagophobic and tranophobic and fucking phobic. Oh yeah, and hating the Jews and all this other stuff. I'm going to live for a long time just to piss people off. I may get Social Security. How old do you even have to be? Is it still 65? Was it ever 65? I don't know. But by the time I die, unless I die early, which is always possible because the government will kill me at some point, Social Security will cease to be a thing in my lifetime. And while I'm not looking forward to it, I'm also looking forward to it. Because I want to see it. Oh God, I want to see the fucking old people whining, "Where's my money? I paid into the system." I don't know. Why don't you get a job? Why don't you learn to code? Yeah, look, women go on the internet, right, and they sell their bathwater. Why don't you sell your fucking drool that's coming out of your mouth while you're whining about, "Where's my money?" It's boomer drool. Yeah, that boomerdrool.com. You too can buy some boomer drool. "Where's my money?" Later this year, Social Security is expected to declare a 1.8 cost of living increase for 2020 based on current trends, program officials said. Monday's report by three cabinet heads and Social Security's acting commissioner urges lawmakers. Ooh, we're going to urge the lawmakers, which is another indicator that the lawmakers don't work for us. We work for them. If the government worked for us, the peoples, right? If the government was concerned with fixing this shit, no, we'd have to urge them to fix the shit. They would fucking fix it, right? If you take your car to your auto mechanic, you have to urge the mechanic to put in your new fuel pump. You have chosen your mechanic poorly, okay? If you go to McDonald's and you have to urge the Zoomer, I'm sorry, the millennial, if you have to urge the millennial who is asking you if it'd like fries with that to bring your big, get your Big Mac ordered, okay, then you have gone to the wrong fast food joint. Urge officials to fix the problem. No, no, no. They shouldn't have to be urged. Well, they're public servants. No, no, no. They're not public servants. It's the whole goddamn point. They're not serving anyone but themselves. My God, speaking of that, I just finished disc number 3 because I'm old. Oh my God, I should sell my drool. Boomerdrool.com. Hold on. Come on, internet. I got to see if that's a thing. Boomerdrool.com. If that is available. All right, come on, let's go. Just stop, I know. Boomerdrool.com. Oh my God, I think it might be available. All right, hold on, I gotta write this down. Boomerdrool.com. I might have to buy this. Boomerdrool.com. You'll be like Patreon for boomers. Okay, stand back. All right, hold on. Changing topics. Okay, visualize this with me. It's like Patreon, right? You go on and you beg for money, you cyber beg, and then Patreon takes a cut. Boomerdrool.com. So old people, they sign up on the site and they drool into a jar or some kind of container. And then they send it to me. Then I can sell their drool and I'll just take a percentage. Now I know what you're saying. You're saying, "Great one. Why would anybody buy Boomer Drool?" Well, I mean, people buy bathwater from girls. So the first answer is that people are stupid. And you can't argue with that. You're going, right now, everybody listening to this podcast just went, "Well, okay, you got a fucking point there." But the thing is, girls can sell their bathwater because they're cute. And so, now some of them are only clary cute, like on the clary sliding scale for American women, but that some of them really are cute. Like that one chick, the, what was her name? Belle Daphne? She was, anyhow, I Googled, she's actually pretty goddamn cute. I don't know if I'd buy her bath water. But she's cute. Okay, but the boomers aren't cute girls. So, all right, so I can sell this. There's got to be a way to sell this. How would you get people? Okay, wait. Boomer drool activates your chakras. Oh my God, you could vape it. You could vape boomer drool. Okay, so chakra activation for the new agers. For the hipsters, they could vape. Okay, so now, we got to figure out how to sell boomer drool. All right, how do we sell boomer drool? Okay, selling boomer drool. God, there's got to be a way to sell this. There's got to be a way to get stupid people, because that's why stupid people have money. Stupid people have money so they can give it to smart people. There's got to be a way to get people to pay money for boomer drool. Okay, what about this? Do you hate the boomers? Okay, here's what I'm thinking. Here's where I'm going. Because remember how the feminists, they hate men, right? So their coffee mug that says male tears? Because they hate men. Okay, so if you hate boomers, boomer drool coffee mugs. Your coffee mug, it says boomer drool. And on the other side of the coffee mug, it says social security. And over the word social security, there's like a red rubber stamp that says insolvent. Okay, so boomer drool. See, this is going to start turning into a thing. But now how do I get them to buy the actual boomer drool? Oh my God, you could get like a necklace that has a little vial that has some boomer drool in it. Okay. I gotta write this down. Hold on. Boomer drool. We're gonna call it BD for short. Mugs, coffee mugs. With Social Security, which Social Security happens to be abbreviated SS, just like, you know, the SS in Nazi Germany. Fascinating. Wow, imagine that. With SS/insolvent. Great, one more thing on my to-do list that I don't have time for. Boomerdrool.com. By the time you hear this episode, this will be coming out on Wednesday. By the time you hear this episode, boomerdrool.com might be a thing. God, I'm a genius. I'm a fucking genius. So I'll just take a deep breath. Bask in my genius. Let's just bask in the wisdom. Bask in the greatness. All right, that's a lot of basking. All right, let's not do any more basking. We got to move on. All right, great. We're 19 minutes into this, and we're still got a pile of articles over here. It's going to be a long, long day. Monday's report by three cabinet heads and Social Security's acting commissioner urges lawmakers to take action sooner rather than later to address these shortfalls. Oh, these are shortfalls. Is that what they call it? Shortfalls. Tell the bank you can't pay your mortgage that month. I'm sorry, we have a shortfall. Really? Okay. Yeah, what if your employer came to you, or if you work directly for your clients, you're a 1099 or whatever. You know, what if your people who pay you, your clients or your employer, came to you and said, you know, can't really afford to pay you this month. We had a shortfall. Oh! Ooh, Here's a question. Hey, Chad Elkins, help us out here. Chad, if you don't know, Chad Elkins is the resident CPA of the Manosphere. Chad, what if I contacted the IRS when it was time for me to pay my taxes and I said, hey, guys, yeah, I can't really pay my taxes this year. I had a shortfall. Would the IRS be like, hey, great one. Don't worry about it. It's cool. We got you covered, man. That, yeah, just, you know, you can just next year is fine. You're good. It's a shortfall, my friends, a shortfall. Quote, take action sooner rather than later to address these shortfalls so that a broader range of solutions can be considered. Let me get through this sentence before I editorialize. And more time will be available to phase in changes while giving the public adequate time to prepare, unquote. Okay. Okay, let me try to calm the fuck down. Broader range of solutions. You have a Ponzi pyramid scheme in which you take money from one group of people and you give it to another group of people. That is what Social Security is. If you think Social Security is anything other than that, you're stupid. The solutions to making that system continue to work are, number one, take more money from the people paying in. Number two, give less money to the people receiving. Or number three, a combination of both. There are no other solutions. There aren't. That's not a fucking opinion, okay? That is not a fucking opinion. I know there's some fucking, you know, dipshit out there who's, well, but if we change this law and we... No. There are only three possibilities. There are three possible solutions. Raise taxes, lower benefits, do both. That's it. And you can kick the can and you can fucking address shortfalls and you can take action sooner rather than later and you can give the public adequate time to prepare and all this other fucking gay shit. There are only three possibilities. I mean, you could print more money. Okay, but printing more money is the same as raising taxes because it lowers the value of the money people have when you print more money. You can borrow more money, but now you got to raise taxes. All right, those are the same fucking thing. That's the same thing as raising the taxes. In fact, I dare say those solutions are worse than just raising the fucking taxes. There is no broader fucking range of solutions available. And if you think there are, you're stupid. You're stupid. You're not uninformed. You're not failing to think it through. You're not misled. You're stupid. There are only three fucking solutions. Told this story before in much more depth. I don't know where it ended up. This is the thing. I keep thinking about this every now and then. I'd like to know how it happened. What's going on? Because I don't know. When I worked at Colorado State University, the state of Colorado has their own retirement plan, which is called PERA, P-E-R-A. I don't even remember what PERA stands for. But anyhow, and this was, again, this was like 10 years ago now. That's why I'm really interested to see how this has turned out. Let me put this on the fucking list. Let me see if I can find out what's going on. The PERA officials just came to all of us, you know, all of us who were paying into the system, and we had all these big meetings on CSU campus and, of course, all over the state of Colorado, and they just looked and they said, look, here's the deal. We're going to run out of money. Here's when we're going to run out of money. They told us, look, for every, I am almost certain, no, oh, fuck, I'm trying to remember. I wonder if I still have the documentation. I doubt it. But they told us for every dollar that comes in, they were spending over $3. And they said, you know, we invested and this is our rate of return, our investment, yada, yada, yada. And they had the charts and they did this thing called math. And I mean, they were not sugarcoating a fucking thing. And they were pissing people off because there were these old fat women nearing retirement in the system, and they were angry as hell at these meetings. I paid, and I've heard this. I don't make this shit up, guys. This is the exact shit I heard at these meetings. I paid into this system, and I want my money. And all these fucking old people are getting pissed. And the para representatives are standing there saying, look, this is math. This is the fucking chart. We can raise the amount of money we take out of people's paychecks. We can lower your benefits, or we can do a combination of both. Those are the fucking options. They didn't say fucking, but they were not sugarcoating shit, and they were not living in a fantasy world. I don't know where it is now. That's why I really want to know. I need to fucking find out. But they told all these fucking people on CSU campus that were paying into the system, the shit's going to fucking collapse. And I'm dead serious. The old people, mostly fat women, were outraged. Because they can't do math. Because you can't see the writing on the wall. If Congress doesn't act, what are the odds of Congress not acting? I mean, jeez, when's the last time Congress didn't just jump right in there and solve problems as soon as they became apparent? It's Congress to the rescue. Dun, dun, dun. If Congress doesn't act, both programs would eventually be unable to cover the full cost of promised benefits. With Social Security, that could mean automatic benefit cuts for most retirees, many of whom depend on the program to cover basic living cost. Right, because their kids, for the ones who actually have kids, their kids don't want them to live with them because the kids hate their parents because they're boomers. For Medicare, it could mean hospitals. Nursing homes and other medical providers would be paid only part of their agreed upon fees. Wham. I've explained before the solution to the high cost of medical care. You know, I was reading something the other day. Who the fuck was it? Ah, I can't remember. But they made this fantastic point. Because there's this whole thing in our society about the cost of healthcare, right? And healthcare is so expensive, and it's got to be regulated, and it's got to be controlled, and all this other thing. You can't just have the free market running wild because warlords and shit like that, and hospitals can't advertise their rates, and you know, all this shit. And this person made the point, they said, you know, that, I'm paraphrasing greatly from memory, but the point was, this person's point was, there's all these distractors who say a healthcare system can't be run on free market and have low cost, and yet there's a parallel system to the healthcare system that provides healthcare at a reasonable cost with complete, almost complete transparency. There's no such thing as complete, almost complete transparency. They're called veterinarians. And I looked at that and I thought, my God, that's fucking brilliant. Now, some people are going to say, well, but they're veterinarians. Okay. And they fix broken legs and they treat kidney failure and they do MRIs and vaccinations and surgeries. Well, but they're doing it on animals. Okay. And people are animals. I mean, a scalpel works on a dog just like a person. I mean, sutures work on a dog, anesthetics. I mean, it's a pretty fucking good point. It's a really good point. Furthermore, animals can give informed consent. Animals Well, I said the word consent. I almost fucking threw up in my mouth a little bit there. Right, animals don't have any control over what's going on. People do. Veterinarians somehow manage to provide health care for animals. And yet doctors, who are supposed to be so fucking intelligent, especially considering how many of them are Jews, and we all know that Jews are all have way higher IQs than the rest of us, because, oh my God, the Jews are so fucking intelligent. They weren't smart enough to get away from the Nazis or anything, but they're so much smarter than the rest of us. That's why they make more money. So if veterinarians can figure out how to provide medical care at a reasonable cost, why the fuck can't doctors? This is a great point. I read that sentence and I'm like, that's one of the fucking smartest things I've seen lately. Okay, speaking of things that are not smart, where did I leave off? We're talking about Congress. That's right, Congress. Things that are not smart. Things that should be euthanized. Congress. God, just wait until Congress is in session and roll a couple of canisters of nerve gas in there. Bam, done. Great one. Nerve gas is inhumane. Or I'm not talking about gassing people. I'm talking about gassing Congress. I mean, shit, I wouldn't even use nerve gas on Jews. But Congress? Yes. If Congress doesn't act, both programs would eventually be unable to cover the full cost of promised benefits. Boo-hoo. With Social Security, that can mean automatic benefit cuts for most retirees, many of whom depend on the program to cover basic living costs. Oh yeah, because they can't live with their kids because their kids hate them. That's where we left off. Okay. For Medicare, it can mean that hospitals, nursing homes, and other... See, this is how I got... Like, why am I talking about the medical system? In fact, I don't even know how I got there. Now I know how I got there. For Medicare, it could mean that hospitals, nursing homes, and other medical providers would be paid only part of their agreed-upon fees. Oh my goodness, you mean you won't be able to get $237 a night for somebody to lay in your fucking hospital room on a bed? Oh, you poor baby. You poor, poor thing. I mean, you could put sick people in a fucking Motel 6 for less money. And it would probably be cleaner. If you're new around here, I've worked in hospitals. I've seen some things in hospitals that you don't want to know about. When you hear the expression, hospitals are places where people go to die, I can back that up. The only way I will ever be checked into a hospital is if I am unconscious when it happens. And as soon as I wake up, I am immediately going to start trying to crawl out of that place. Although crawling across the floor in the hospital, not a good idea because that's how you get germs. Trust me on this, you do not want to go to a hospital if you can avoid it. In a glimmer of good news, Social Security's disability program is now estimated to remain solvent for an additional 20 years through 2052. Great, we can kick the fuck out of that can because nobody in office today has got to worry about being in office when that happens. I mean, you know, because we care about our children and everything. Now we're going to fuck the shit out of our children by leaving them all of these government programs that are completely insolvent and are going to destroy their financial futures. But yeah, we care about the children so fucking much. Quote, we, the royal we, remain committed to further bolstering the program's finances, which will benefit from the long-term growth we will see as a result of the administration's economic policies, unquote, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said. Bullshit. And that's not anti-Trump. I don't give a fuck who the president is. When you tell me that your administration is going to bolster programs, finances, and long-term growth and economic policy. You are full of shit. You are 100% full of shit. As an indicator of Medicare's woes, it would take a payroll tax increase of 0.91 percentage points to fully address its shortfalls, or a 19% cut in spending. Medicare's programs are considered more difficult to solve, as healthcare costs regularly outpace inflation and economic growth. Wow, fascinating, because no one has the balls. Just like with the fucking universities and the colleges, everyone keeps pumping more money into them through student loans, so the prices keep going up. Once again, okay, so very briefly, because it doesn't take, how do we solve the cost of healthcare? Simple, you get rid of all health insurance. So that people, if they're going to a doctor, it's just like going to the vet. It's just like going to the auto mechanic. You have to pay for that. And suddenly, people won't be able to afford what healthcare currently costs. Now, the stupid people out there are going to say, but great one, people will die. Some people might die, but let me explain why most people are not going to die. Let me explain this to you, because everyone thinks about this shit from the side, well, but if you get rid of health insurance and people can't afford health care, they'll die in the streets. Because you're thinking, and I get it, the warlords and the roads and the corporations. But all seriousness, okay, I understand, because you're thinking about this from the perspective of, like me, like say the person who has cancer or the person who has a broken leg or whatever. That's the wrong way to approach the problem. Let's say that you get rid of health insurance. Therefore, nobody, quote unquote nobody, can afford health care at the current cost. Now, before all these people start dying, what's going to happen? All the people who work at hospitals, all the people who work at doctor's clinics, all the people who work in the healthcare industry, right? If no one can no longer afford their services, what happens to those people's jobs? Well, their jobs go away. They're now unemployed, right? If I'm a doctor and I charge $1,000 an hour, and suddenly no one can afford to pay me $1,000 an hour, I don't have a source of income. Now at this point, I can either go get a job as a barista, consuming there's any openings, because there's a whole lot of millennials with liberal arts degrees that I have to compete with, or I can figure out how to lower the cost of my services so that people can afford my services. And I am here to tell you, with my non-existent degree in economics and all the other things I don't have, I'm bringing fucking common sense and a knowledge that humans will preserve their own existence. I am telling you that if suddenly people cannot afford medical care, the people who work in the medical care industrial complex will figure the fuck out how to reduce the cost of medical care, because doctors and nurses and, you know, all the hospital administrator, all the scumbags, the CEOs and the administrator, all of those people, they're not going to go get jobs at Starbucks. They will figure out, right? It's just like, well, if we eliminate slavery, who's going to pick the cotton? Okay, somebody will figure out how to pick the fucking cotton. Okay, this is not insurmountable. If you eliminate health insurance and nobody can afford health care, and there are, what, hundreds of thousands of people in the healthcare industry that suddenly don't have a job? Oh, I guarantee you, somebody's gonna fucking figure out how to provide health care at a reasonable goddamn cost. It's not that fucking hard. It's like building a road. It's a fucking flat place on the ground. It's like going to a doctor. I have a broken arm. Yes, you do. We put some shit around. We straighten it. We put some shit around it. Come back in a week. It's not that fucking hard. We think it's hard because it's been made hard. It's not that fucking hard. Social Security is the government's largest program. Well, no, no, no. Wait, I thought the Department of Defense was the largest, because we bomb countries and we murder babies and baby killers and, ooh, the military. That's fascinating. Social Security is the government's largest program. That, well, there must be a typo here. No. Let me read this sentence again, because this can't be right. Social Security is the government's largest program. I think they misspelled baby killing, right? Because isn't that what the military does? They kill babies? Social Security is the government's largest program, costing $853 billion, with a B, billion dollars last year, with an additional $147 billion with a B for disability benefits, Medicare's hospital, outpatient care, and prescription drug benefits. Ah, the pharmaceutical corporations, yes. Don't get me started. I wonder if those drugs from the pharmaceutical corporations, God, I wonder if there's any fat in that budget that could be cut down. I mean, yeah, those pills really do cost $17 each. I mean, oh man, just think, if we got rid of health insurance and Medicare and Medicaid, how would the pharmaceutical corporations ever be able to bring the cost of Viagra down so that normal people could afford it? But who would build the roads? But who would pick the cotton? We have to have slaves. How is the cotton going to get picked? Oh, God. It's so pathetic. You statist, you're so fucking pathetic. You're so goddamn fucking lame. Medicare's hospital, outpatient care, and prescription drug benefits totaled $740 billion with a B, dollars. Taken together, the two programs combined for 45% of the federal budget, excluding interest payments on the national debt. 45% of government spending, excluding interest payments on the national debt, is welfare. Fucked. And you cucks actually think Western civilization can still be saved. All right. What do I got here? I got some short stuff, that's what she said. I got some long stuff, that's what I said. We're at 44 minutes. All right, let's do the shorties. that's what she said. She's like, yeah, I don't have time for anything big. Let's do the shorties. Oh, yeah. Let me set that aside because I'm not sure about that one. Settle down, class, settle down. Today's lesson is cursive writing. I see by your expressions that you think thumbs are out of their minds. You think the thumbs are out of their minds, but we agree with the State Board of Education, which started this year to require all second grade students in Texas to write legibly in cursive by the time they reach fifth grade. Maybe it's our age showing, but it's not all about computers and smartphones all the time. Eventually, you must leave a note someone can understand. Schools, public education system, actually have to be required to teach students how to write legibly. With an education system like that, how can we fucking fail? Oh, this should be in the other pile. In news that will have you checking your neck when you finish this sentence, some people are developing horn-like spikes at the base of their skulls from too much cell phone use. A study out of Australia, there's a lot of things coming out of Australia these days, none of them are good. One that not all scientists are totally sold on found that the head down posture commonly used when handling a mobile device is causing physical changes, mostly in younger adults. These phone bones join other high-tech maladies such as texting thumb and Hulu butt. Researchers say that while the condition is serious and can lead to headaches and back pains, improving your posture can help. Parents used to tell their kids not to sit too close to the TV lest they go blind. Now they can add sit up straight or you'll grow horns. Go Zoomers, go. Who's your daddy? There's a twist in Swiss orangutan paternity test. A paternity test on a baby orangutan has come back with a surprising result. Well, surprising if you're a cuck. Basel Zoo in northwestern Switzerland said Thursday that the test showed five-month-old Padma wasn't fathered by the male in her enclosure. Keepers routinely take DNA samples from newborn orangutans because the endangered great apes are part of a breeding program. Researchers at Basel University Forensic Lab compared Padme's DNA to that of Booty, a 14-year-old male living in the same enclosure as the baby's mother, Maja. They found it didn't match Booty's DNA. Instead, it matched 18-year-old orangutan Vindel, who lives in the next enclosure. It appears that Maja and Vindel, the dominant male in the Basel Zoo, It appears that for Maja and Vindel, the dominant male in the Basel Zoo, the dividing fence was no obstacle to some monkey business. Get it? Monkey business. Oh my God, you journalists, you're so funny. Monkey business. Okay, there's a female orangutan in a cage with a beta male orangutan. She got impregnated by the alpha male orangutan through the fucking bars of the cage. Who knew? Who knew that women do not let obstacles stop them from acquiring alpha male seed? Who knew? How is this news? This is what women, human women, do. They're in an enclosure, otherwise known as a marriage, with the beta male, but they become impregnated by the alpha. This is why feminists oppose paternity testing so goddamn much. Because we know that if every baby that was born received paternity testing to see if the man who thinks he is the father is actually the father, I mean, what? At this point, I would dare say that what do you call it? Do you say they failed the paternity test if the man who thinks he's the father isn't the father? Right? The failure rate, I think it would be as high as 20%. I think it would be somewhere between, I'd say 15 to 20%. This is not a twist. This is biology. Females seek out alpha sperm. And a fucking little cage isn't going to stop that from happening. Speaking of things that women seek, let's talk about abortions. Regardless of the irony in a movement that bills itself as pro-life, seeking capital punishment, a Texas bill would make it possible to put women to death for having abortions. Once again, so the woman should be able to kill the baby with no ramifications. Huh. You know, women are so compassionate and caring. Nothing selfish about that. I wouldn't be able to kill another human being. And just no consequences. Tony Tinderholt, Republican from Arlington, who proposed the measure, said it was necessary to make women, quote, more personally responsible, unquote. As if the decision to have an abortion could be left to others or the experience could somehow be outsourced. Okay, once again, to quote Frank Cervi, women and responsibility go together like the like ends, the like poles of magnets. Okay? Women and responsibility have nothing to do with each other. Nothing. The bill makes no exceptions for rape or incest, the excuses that women use for everything, and anyone involved in an abortion could be open to homicide charges. Huh. Imagine that. Murdering other people could make you open to homicide charges. Shocking. Even if one objects to abortion, punishing women is an unconscionable and extreme position. Why, yes, even if you're opposed to abortion, even if you object to abortion, even if you think abortion is murder, punishing women is unconscionable. I can't say that word. Unconscionable. And extreme. Even if you think abortion is murder, punishing women is extreme. Because women should never have consequences for their actions. And this is why women and responsibility don't go together. Remember, these are the same women. We gotta let them vote. We gotta let them vote. What do you do with that? Punishing women. Well, it's extreme and unconscionable. I mean, you can't punish women. My God, they have vaginas. How dare you punish women? You must hate women.